I want to say thank you and welcome to or welcome back to Remix Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lily Tombe, and today we're joined with our first ever guest on the podcast. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Sarah.
And who are you, Sarah?
I am the, hold on, let me get my official title.
Oh.
No, exactly. I am co-producer and creative director of the Remix Me Reality podcast with my sister, Lily Tombe.
I was really expecting that you were going to say, like, Lily's my sister. Like, that's the first thing you were going to say. I didn't think you were going to jump into your title right away. But,
Oh,
it's
sorry.
okay. Whatever is more important to you can go first. What does that look like on, like, an everyday level? You said you're a producer, creative director. Like, what do you do?
So on the creative side, I'm like on Instagram. So I kind of run like our Instagram page. We're hoping to start other pages pretty soon, but keep running up the Instagram. We need to start there first. Just posting our Instagram, reposting stuff, replying to DMs. I do like most of like the communication. Me and Lily plan episodes together. We plan the whole season together. So yeah, just kind of all the behind the scenes stuff is kind of what I am in charge of organizing, I like to say.
Yes, Sarah, thank you so much. I think it's great that people now have some insight on what you do. If you've ever gotten a DM from her requesting something, this is who the face behind the message. All right, so how old are you? What do you do for a living? Just tell us a little bit more about yourself so we can really dive into this.
I'm 23. I live in Southern California. I'm a full-time student. I don't technically have like a job that I clock into, is what I say, but I do like a lot of little things on the side. That always sounds so shady, but I run like a Depop. It's not mine, it's for someone else, but I run theirs. I am basically someone's like nanny on the weekends. It's been like a pretty consistent like honestly, I just do a lot of things that make me money. That's all that people need
Okay, so the
know. Just
suspicion
kidding.
that people have, I think, will just definitely be skyrocketed after this episode.
It's just hard to explain. The people who I see on a day-to-day know what I do, like know like what I when I say I'm working, they know what I'm doing, you know? But if I sit down and explain it to someone, they're gonna be like, girl, that is not a job. But like they know exactly, you know, it's hard work. I work. But I like to say I'm fun employed.
Okay, fun employed. Love that. I was just going to introduce Sarah in my eyes, who she is to me. So Sarah is my big sister, one of two, my bestie. I call her or I text her daily. She usually ignores me, but I was looking at our text messages
Okay.
today and I saw that like I was doing most of the ignoring today. Like I'll send Sarah like paragraphs and she'll like heart it or like thumbs up the message. And I realized I was doing that to her today. So it felt very empowering in the sense. But yeah, I'm
Oh.
her. Yeah, I'm like, well, this is probably how she feels. But right. So I am her little sister. We weren't always close. We didn't. Well, Sarah says that we used to bully her. So.
Lily, no. We can wait to get into that more into the pod
Okay.
because you can say what you want, but you know the truth. You
Okay.
know the
Yeah.
truth.
But
We
now we're
can wait
friends.
until later.
Now we're friends. Yes. We're the closest in age. Yeah, she currently, I'm sure, misses me so much because I am in a different country, but she's going to come and visit and we're going to have a
Yes.
great Euro winter. Okay.
Yes.
But Sarah, what I've been doing to start or end the podcast is doing a little question that I'm going to ask. This is from We're Not Really Strangers. So I'm going to ask you
Oh,
this first and then we'll just take turns.
do
Okay.
I answer it right away?
Yeah, you can think about it if you need to. But so the question is, what meal feels like home?
Feels like home. That's a tough one. I would say like whenever I like grill burgers like at the house, that feels like the most like childhood, I guess I could say, because we used to do that like all the time, like after going on hikes and stuff. So that feels like home, but like that's not like my favorite meal.
Okay, well,
A tough question. I don't want
that's
to
the
answer.
easiest one they ask. So,
Okay.
your favorite food then?
My favorite food is sushi for sure. Shrimp tempura with gyoza. I need either an eel sauce or a like sweet, the sweet chili sauce or whatever. I also have been really into crab rangoon recently, so all of those are just really good.
We're polar opposites because I can't eat seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am eating up that yellowtail at Nobu. So.
Okay. So for me, to answer the question, a meal that feels like home is a California burrito because it just feels like, I remember when we had moved from one part of town to another, it was like really late.
Yes.
We didn't have like electricity, we only had gas, right? And so we put our California burritos in the oven and we ate it as our first night in this new place. Very specific that I remember that because I was probably what,
No,
four?
I remember that too. No, you're
Yeah.
going, yeah.
Into kindergarten. Yeah. I was young, but I remember it. So I think California burrito feels like home. It's delicious and I can't wait to eat one when I want like, you know, this is what I'm expecting. Whoever's picking us up for the
Oh.
airport, I want my favorite foods and flowers just lined up in the car. So yeah, so Bobby, if you're listening, you know my favorite place. So all right. Okay, Sarah. So now I feel like we've broke the ice a little bit. Let's
Okay.
go ahead and get started into a little bit about you and your story. So obviously I know a little bit more about you than some of the listeners do. So I'm gonna ask you to give a little more context and stuff like that with some things that I might just automatically know. So growing up, you went to Catholic school, correct, for a few years? Okay, can you talk a little bit?
Yes.
There's definitely some connotations and stereotypes about Catholic school kids. So do you want to just dive into that and then the transition after that?
Yeah, so I went to private school from what, kindergarten to second grade. So it was really only 3 years, but honestly, most of my memories from Catholic school are pretty positive. I remember having my first communion, and I was very specific about the dress that I wanted, like how I wanted it to look, how I wanted my hair to look, the accessories I got with it. Like the uniforms were also one of my favorite parts of Catholic school, but free dress days was really where I felt like I got to like be myself and like just wear really whatever I wanted. I remember there was a specific outfit that I loved. It was like a jean skirt with capri leggings and a blue Hannah Montana like graphic tee. And I wanted to wear it so bad with like these little high heels that I used to wear to church on Sunday mornings. And I remember being like just really mad that our parents wouldn't let me wear my high heels to school because why wouldn't I be able to wear high heels to school as a first grader? Like, what do you mean? But honestly, yeah, I loved going to Catholic school. We had literally like 25 kids in our class. You were with the same kids every single year. And you knew all the parents, like the same parents would come on all of our field trips. We knew what teacher we were gonna have the next year. So there was never any like fear of like growing up in a way. Like, you know, there's as a kid you kind of like are a little bit weary of like new places, but like I never felt that. I knew everyone. We had like the fall festival every year, which was something we looked forward to, and the Christmas program. And that's where I did my first where I sang live, like in front of people. I think that was the very first time. But yeah, I remember that. That was a really happy day for me. Yeah, honestly, I really loved Catholic school.
Yes, I remember that performance. Happy birthday. Do you want to re reenact it?
I'm sure it's on YouTube, but you guys
Right,
can Google
right.
it.
Did I ever tell you that one of my choir performances was posted on YouTube under the comedy section? Did I never tell you this? It's from middle school.
One that I went to. I think I still have like the videos
That's terrible.
in my
He's
Snapchat
like
memories.
successful now.
You were good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
But yeah,
He was actually our neighbor.
honestly.
Did you know that? He lived on the opposite side of the canyon, like where we live now. Yeah. Okay. So I remember, I don't know if you, I'm sure you do, the fall festivals were always my favorite times of the year. And like the boo parade, and it was just such
Yes,
a
the boo
time.
parade.
Oh, God. I remember one time I
Yeah.
was so sick during one of the boo parades, and we got Taco Bell after. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that.
So
I
specific.
just remember having to walk. It felt like we were walking like literally like the Underground Railroad with how long and hot it
Sarah.
was. But yeah, it just really felt like I don't know, just nostalgic, like to go to those things, because yeah, it was just fun, family. The thing that I liked about Catholic school is just like it was just very family oriented. So yeah, that's why I liked it.
Yeah. Was there any, like, we've talked about the good, we've talked about memories. Was there any, like, bad that you remember from Catholic school? Like, I know there's a lot of, like I said, stereotypes about Catholic school children and how they turn up. So, what do you think about that?
I honestly think I was too young to even like comprehend really like negative aspects of Catholic school, if that makes sense, or even like be told like, a lot of the things that people criticize Catholics for. Like, I didn't really understand any of that stuff. I was like literally like 9 years old. So it's kind of like, what do I know? So I say no, but I'm sure there were things going on that I was just not aware of. If you ask like my older siblings, I'm sure they would have more negative things, but I mean, I was just a little girl, so I just enjoyed all the fun stuff. I did get in trouble like a few times, but for like dumb stuff,
I feel like you guys were the pranksters. Like, MT, didn't he get in trouble for
He
something?
got in trouble for something, but the things that I got in trouble for were nowhere near the things that like I honestly like gave our parents like very like I was always very like you didn't have to worry about me, like I was always going to behave. There were other people on the other hand who they kind of had to keep an eye on a little bit more. So yeah, I feel like honestly I was pretty perfect, but
Period. Okay, so now let's get into a little bit of like the faith aspect of it. Although you were still really young, do you think that you like how was that for you remembering the different traditions and just stuff about the Catholic faith?
I think growing up Catholic, I really understood. This is me looking back, right? Because I've experienced other things. So looking back, I feel like the foundation they give you is as like a child, like growing up in the Catholic Church is very warm and loving. Like I kind of just feel like we were taught all of the major Bible stories and just the why we like highlight them so much. And I remember we w would watch like, the little like cartoon Bible stories, and like those are always my favorite days. Like when it would rain outside, that's just what we would watch. And it was just always like I had an understanding that God was like just a loving God who wanted to do good things in our lives. And I feel like that's just the best foundation I could have gotten as a child. If I needed something, like just like literally just pray to God and He'll give it to you. Or
I
he'll
hope.
give you what you like, he'll give you what you need, not always necessarily what you're asking for, but your desire will be fulfilled, is what I always say.
That's good. I love that. So obviously you didn't stay in Catholic school forever. We definitely moved from that area. So I want to talk a little bit about that like transition. Like, what was that like going from private school, very small, not that many people in your classes, to this more big public school sphere? I would assume less diverse from what I remember.
I don't know if I would say it was less diverse because even at our Catholic school, like there were only like four black families in the entire school. No, I wouldn't say it was less diverse, but definitely was different. I definitely felt it was especially just seeing everyone in like different clothes was one thing I remember being like, wow, okay, like this is crazy. Like, I remember our parents had to like basically buy us a whole new wardrobe because we were just wearing uniforms to school every day. And now we needed to have like, different outfits and all of that. I remember thinking like lunchtime was really weird. Like, I don't know, it just felt like because I don't, this isn't just a Catholic school thing, but a lot of the times, like, oh, I don't know if I mentioned our Catholic school was K through 12 or K through eight,
I was
sorry,
gonna
K
say
through eight.
12.
K through eight. So the older kids just look so much older to us. Like, they literally look like college kids. So, and we never had like our lunches were separate. So, like, we had lunch. It was basically just kindergarten through like second grade, and then everyone else had lunch after us. So, it was just very different seeing like the babies on the playground while we're like the older kids of this school. Like, it just felt very different in that way. But as far as like making friends and stuff, because I was the new girl, and like a lot of these kids have been together since like, I mean, they called them peppers at our school, but it was like preschool, they've been together since then. Just having a new person was like super exciting to them. So for me, it was, I don't remember it being super hard to make friends. I remember it being difficult to choose which friends I was going to like stick with.
Dealer.
No, I'm just saying because it was, I remember different It's so weird how like cattiness starts really young. But I remember girls being like, you can't hang out with them because they're the mean girls and they're like this and they're like that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. And like, but I honestly, like, I'm still friends with so many people that I met like my first day in Scripps. Like, I'm still friends with so many of them. And yeah, the transition from Catholic to public school wasn't too crazy. I think also just because of my age, it was just kind of like. Also, I kind of, as a child, I loved moving houses. We would move houses like every few years. And I don't know, I just loved like a change of scenery. So for me, I was all for it.
That's
So yeah.
nice. That's nice. I was new, so I didn't like same. We went to the same elementary school, but I still remember the first day of school. They rolled out the red carpet, and our
I
dad
do
was.
remember being upset that day, though, that first
Why?
day. I think I almost started crying because it was the first time me and Lily were going to the same school. And obviously, she was younger, she was starting kindergarten, whatever. And we had to get dropped off. Like, I think the first day you get dropped off in the classroom. So my dad was like, okay, we're going to take Sarah up to her classroom first. So you guys took me up to my classroom. He was like, okay, I'm just going to drop you off and then I'm going to take Lily to her classroom, get her settled, and then come back to say bye. Because we did like get there pretty early. So he said he was going to come back and he did not come back. I think he really did like plan on coming back, but the time he was done with you, because I think you had like a whole mental breakdown, by the time he was done dealing with you, it was like we had already started like instruction, so he couldn't like come in and like say bye to me. But I remember being really upset about that, and I kind of was mad at you for a while, but
How was that my fault?
because I was like, of course she had to make a scene downstairs. Like, your classroom was like directly underneath mine. I remember that too. Like, we were like in the same building, you were just right underneath. And I was like, ugh. And then when he picked us up, he told me what happened. I was like, Lee. But yeah.
I was like a baby.
You were five. And you were like a few months away from being six. Like, it wasn't like you were like an infant. But I get it. I get it. But like, damn. I just had to put that in there.
Do you
Just
remember, since we're talking about being abandoned, do you remember when we were at daycare and you guys told me you guys were gonna go get me a
Yes.
burrito and then you never came back?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I literally was told to do that.
I just think deception is evil. Why were
I
you?
wanted to stay.
Yeah, you should have.
No, they wouldn't let me. They said play with Lily for a little bit and then tell her to go get a toy. When she turns around, leave. And that's what I did. That's what they told
Why was I even being dropped off?
Because it was daycare. You're not supposed to
Yes, but you were
stay with
with
the kid.
our parents. Why did I need to go to daycare? What were you guys
I
doing?
don't remember. I don't remember. I don't
I
remember.
don't
I
think I
think
went back though.
I was probably like four at that time. So I really don't. I don't remember. But I remember that moment. I don't remember what we were doing that day.
Whatever it was, I couldn't be there. Good to know. Okay. So, in terms of you switching Catholic schools, obviously, when you're in Catholic school, you guys were learning about religion in your classes and all that stuff. In public school, that's not exactly the case. Although our parents did continue taking us to Catholic church for like a little bit. What did you say that you're, once again, you were really young, but did that change your faith and the perception of, like God at all?
No, I don't think so, especially because like our school was right next to a church, the church that we ended up going to. So it was kind of like I was always reminded that yeah, we might not be learning about like Jesus in school, but like the church that we go to every Sunday is right there, and like we literally would like walk right by it when we would like get picked up. So I was always reminded, if that makes sense, in that sense. But in school, I don't remember it being like a big deal. Especially when we started taking like faith formation classes like during the school week at our church, and some people that I knew from school were in my class, so it was kind of like I knew there were some people, yeah, who at least believe the same thing, I guess. But again, I was really young. I don't think I was really thinking about it that much.
That's great though. I do want to talk a little bit about, because obviously at some point in time we stopped going to Catholic church and we started going to like a non-denominational evangelical, I guess you can call it, church. So can we talk a little bit about that? Could we address the
Yeah.
elephant in the room?
Of course.
All
What
right.
would you like to know?
So what was that like for you? Okay, one thing I will say, and I think I've talked about this in the faith episode, is because I didn't go to Catholic school and I didn't have that like foundation, if that makes sense. And I didn't have my first communion and I didn't take the faith formation classes until I think we like started it and then I stopped. I felt very behind in many aspects. So going into this new type of church, I felt like I wasn't as behind. So because you kind of had that foundation and you went into this new church, what was that like for you?
I remember it being extremely jarring. Like it was like insane walking into that place. I was just a little bit shocked when we like our first time at, are we saying the name? Or should we just say, can I just say
Okay, sure.
redacted? Can I just say our first time? And honestly, this is, I just want to preface all of like when we start talking about this, I want to say like this is no shade. Like truly, I would not be who I am today without being or going to Redacted. I think that it shaped a lot of who I am. It gave me a lot of my core beliefs. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just wasn't the place for me. And, but I still like my, the closest people to me in life still go there. And I'm still very close to them and talk almost every day. I still love you, but no, this is Agnes. I just want to say that first. Yeah. The still like the closest to people to me, like still go to this place and I, this church, I'll say.
Redacted.
And I like, you guys know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about it. We talk about it all the time. Like we talk about it. So it's like, this is no, they know this is no shade. So if any of you guys are listening, you know I love you. Like stop.
Like evangelical type of.
Things that I was just not used to. Like, I walked into a theater, there's a huge screen up on the wall. The music is very different. I'm used to Table of Plenty. I'm used to, you know, songs like our hymns. I wasn't used to drums and like electric guitar and like all of this stuff. So it was very different. It took me a while to get used to that part. And then I also was confused as to why just anybody was allowed to take communion, and we only did it like once a month. So that those were like my main questions. But as we like got into, you know, like learning about the like the Bible and like hearing these, what I learned were called messages or sermons or whatever. Yes, it was a service, not a mass. They were pastors, not priests, and girls could be them too. So that was iconic, and I love that. There were a lot of things that were different that I learned to embrace, but then there were other things that I was like, this isn't like what I remember it being. And I feel like that's ultimately what led to my departure from Redacted.
That's what led to your departure from Redacted.
Just the what it came down to was what I learned to be the core of being a follower of Jesus was not what I was seeing in front of me.
That's a classy
It
way to
obviously didn't come.
respond. I like that. It's beautiful. We both went to Redacted
I
together.
just think I experienced, I'm
So
just gonna call it redacted from now on.
there was a situation that happened that I do want to address. Okay.
Okay, which one?
Right. Sarah did get in a
Which
little bit of
one?
trouble sometimes.
No, and that's the, honestly, that led to a lot of things that I'm unpacking currently. And we can get into that a little bit more later, but yeah, a lot of like things I experienced while I was there is kind of like what I had to like undo. Like the thoughts that I had about myself, I kind of had to undo once I left because of a lot of the things that I experienced back then. But yes, what were you talking about?
One thing I want to say to listeners is like your place of worship and faith shouldn't leave you traumatized every time you leave it. You shouldn't be
Right.
discussing everything that you've learned in therapy. Because you have a normal conversation with anybody, you tell them the things, they're gonna look at you like you're crazy. Like when I tell my therapist sometimes, she's like, "What? They did what? They said what?" I'm like, "Yeah." And to me, it was so normal. And I think we were so in that for what, 10 years? And then you
Yeah,
get
and I
older.
think that's why it took so long for me to finally be like, no, like I am like done, done, because you become like conditioned in a way. It's like you just are around these people to 3, sometimes even 4 days out of the week. And like, you're told you need to be like this. Like, you should be telling me if you're doing this, this, that, and that, and who you're doing that with, and like why you guys, like, it's just like, it was a very like controlling environment. And if you didn't give that control, I don't want to say control. I'll say it was a very monitored environment. And if you didn't allow the monitoring to go on, you were essentially like blackballed, is what I'll say.
Yeah. I can share this, and then I do
So,
want to get into a specific situation. But
okay.
for some context of what Sarah's means, and I might have shared this before, but when I was either a junior or senior in high school. I remember I was 17. I was asked to be like a student leader again, and they made us like before it was like different, right? Like your leaders would see like leadership ability in you, and they would want to disciple you, and then they would give you like things that you had to do and like tasks and stuff like that, and that would basically be your job. At some point in time, it kind of shifted into this, like, for me it felt like a business transaction, but I don't really know how to explain it. So things shifted a little bit in that, in the sense that like you had to sign a contract. And so I remember I got a contract, and in it was like a purity clause. Like I had to sign that I wasn't going to sleep with anybody, I wasn't going to drink, I wasn't going to do drugs. And if I did any of these, I would come and I would sit, tell my leaders, and I would do all these different things. And one thing I will say is, in theory, all those things that I signed, most of them I didn't do. Actually, none of them I did. I'll say that. However, I will say,
Most.
I just need to preface, I didn't do anything on those sheets, okay? I followed the clause. But one thing I will say is, if you do not have your own personal conviction about those things, I think making teenagers sign a piece of paper saying that they aren't going to have sex is weird. I'm just gonna say that. Like, I just think that is, I actually don't know if I'm allowed to say sex, because is that a considered explicit? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll just say intimacy. Making a teenager sign a paper saying that they will not have intimacy, or if they do, that they will tell their leaders right away, is a very strange thing. It's also really strange because the idea of like purity wasn't really preached until February. We had one message a year that like they would tell us like don't sleep with your boyfriend. Well, it was mainly don't sleep with your boyfriend. It was never guys, don't sleep with it. That's another thing, and I'm getting fired up, but that'll be later. But I do think it's really weird. So monitoring spirits, that's what Sarah's talking about, and I just wanted to give some context. But go
I
ahead.
just want to be careful about what I say, because again, I don't want to hurt people. Like, I still have so much love for people that I like went to Redacted with, and I am still very close with a lot of families that I went to Redacted with, and I love them dearly, and I just don't want them to think that I'm speaking ill of them, or the just I'm not speaking ill of them.
One thing I wanted to talk about is that conference. Do you remember that conference? The viral photo that did get you in a little bit of trouble. Do you know what I'm talking about? With
Yes, I do. Honestly, I just feel like that wasn't even like, I don't even know if that was the worst thing that ever happened. There was just a lot of like weird things. But yeah, that was a weird one. Basically, I wasn't even at the conference. It was just a special night. We'll just say that. It was a special night.
Social night
And
at
there was a photo
Redacted.
booth. There were props at said photo booth. Yes, there were props at this photo booth. It was a themed night. The theme of the night was Havana, Cuba. Keep that in mind. That was the theme. So everyone was wearing colorful, lots of color, whatever, which is whatever. We don't want to get into that. They had props. So I posed with a cigar that was a prop in the photo booth set up by Redacted. Keep that in mind. I posted with it. I posted the photo of me holding the prop that they put in the photo booth that they created themselves. I posted it and I was told to delete it. I was told that there would be a meeting held before our next youth meeting to discuss why it was inappropriate that I took the photo, why it was inappropriate that I posted it, and discuss like how I would never do it again. So that was honestly, I was scared shitless. Like, I was actually really, really upset, and it just makes me sad to think that like gave people so much power over like my life that it really like affected me when they were disappointed in me when it came to something so small, something so minor. I think I was also like again, 16 at
Yeah.
the time. It's not like I was like, I was gonna say whatever. It's not like I was a child posting with this. Like I was 16. Like it wasn't anything crazy, but yeah, that was very weird. And also it was just weird because it wasn't just me in the picture, it was me and another person. But as far as I know, she didn't get the kind of talk that I got. And that honestly could, I'm not gonna say I know why, but I'm just saying there are a few factors, a few different things about me and her
Yeah.
in like multiple ways.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I remember
yeah.
when that happened, and it was kind of crazy for me to witness, just 'cause I'm like, you were at church. Everything that you used was at the church photo booth that was set up. I just if they didn't want people posing with it, they should have not had it. I don't know. I thought that was crazy. And
Right.
then also, if you ever got called, my pastor's kids, people who grew up in like this type of church, if you ever got called to a pastoral care meeting, just
Oof.
know
It's not good.
you were about
And
to
everyone's going to hear about
be
it.
because somehow leaders like to talk, and then leaders tell youth or talk to you about youth when they're in the car and all this stuff, and then the whole church knows that you had to have a pastoral care meeting and you're not allowed to serve on the worship team for a month. Yeah, I don't know. We'll move on for that specific situation. Is there any other
Yeah.
instances like that that you would like to share, or do you think that's good just to kind of get the gist of that?
I think honestly, that's the only one that I'll get into right now, because there is another one that honestly made me really, really upset, because it involved like another member of our family who did not go to Redacted. And yeah, it just really upset me. And it's still like, it was a youth night. And I forget why Laurel came to the church, but he
Oh,
came
I
to the church
remember.
for some reason. And I think it was like when we were cleaning up. I don't know if he was
Yeah,
picking us up or
he
if he was
was.
dropping something off. But basically, he came to the front of like the church, and usually we had security there, and security would not let him inside. And they were like, I don't know what they were saying to him. I think they're like questioning him or something like that, like asking him why he was there. And he's like, oh, I'm picking up my sisters. Like, they sing here.
Yeah.
And then security, I don't know, still like would not let him in the building. Keep in mind, like people, like other parents, other people who are picking up are like freely coming in and
Yeah.
out of the building. And then another youth leader came to our older sister, and I think I was with her, and she goes, Evelyn, there's someone here saying that like they're your brother. And she's like, yeah, my brother's picking us up. And then she was like, oh shit. And then we went out, the leader said shit. She said some sort of, I don't know, expression that was like, we're getting in trouble, or like they did something wrong. Then we go outside, and our brother was pissed, like he was so mad. And because our family, the whole time we were at Redacted, like was not really in support of this place, like they kind of saw through it before
We
we
did.
did. And they were just kind of, he was like, yeah, like I don't know about this place. Like, I mean, this is like, you guys can do your thing, but like that was fucked up.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's still something that makes me really upset.
Bro, I actually completely forgot about that until you just
Yeah.
said it. But now I like visually,
Can
like,
remember it.
yeah, I can remember it. Wow, I
Because there
didn't.
were always moments like at Redacted that like had severe racist undertones, but like nothing was ever like, I don't want to say nothing was ever put in our face like that, but that was the first time it was like, this is who we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, I just there, this is something I even thought about back then. Like, the only time that I ever heard a racial slur from come out of someone's mouth who like I was friends with or like I knew was at that place, and it occurred multiple times. So it's just like there were several things that I just never, like we would talk about it, but like ne I never like said out loud, because again, like if you raised an issue, like you were it was gonna
Fine. Yeah, that just reminded me of summer camp when somebody had they said the N-word and they were making fun of George. It was like right after George Floyd died on the bus to summer camp. And I was like,
Yeah.
what? And I had brought it up to one of the leaders and I essentially got scolded that I was offended and I was carrying the spirit of offense and I needed to let it go and all this
Right.
stuff. And I, anytime there was a problem, something happened that's actually serious, you
It's
need.
just wild.
I think the more I'm talking about this, I forget a lot of things, but it was, and the crazy part is it was a leader of color, right? So I think I texted our other sister, then I told her, and she was like, go to another person. And I went to the other person who wasn't a leader of color, but grew up around a lot of people of color and still didn't take that level of disrespect, regardless, allegedly, and had a conversation with said person. But literally, like, even my friends, which I'm not really friends with anymore, were like, it's okay. Like, no, it's not okay. It's very nasty. It's very disgusting. It was just an interesting, we had a
There are
time.
just multiple things that occurred that were adjacent to both of those situations that we just talked about.
Yeah.
And yet we still stayed.
I know why I stayed. I want to know why you stayed. Because I feel like you were kind of the first that was really like, I don't want to say out the door, but I feel like you kind of were the
No, I
first one
definitely
to,
was.
you were the first one to clock it. So why, what was it for you?
Honestly, I never was 100% in. Like, I never was 100% in it. And I think people picked up on it, which is why I was kind of labeled like the sassy sister, or like wasn't given a lot of the same opportunities that people gave you guys, because they did see that, like, yes, I was there when I needed to be there, but like I kind of always did, like, not that I didn't want to be there, but I just never really felt like I found my people. And even when I did, like, they left even before I did. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just a lot of where else was I gonna go? Like, you guys were there, and like we weren't really like left home alone that, like, if one of the girls was going somewhere, like we all had to go, if that makes sense. Like, I remember our parents saying that too. Like, I remember like all the time I'd be like, guys, like I don't want to go to church. Like, I don't want to go to church today. Like, I just want to stay home. Like, I just wanted my Fridays too. Like, I wanted to be at home. Like, I wanted to go to football games or whatever. And it was always like, well, we both want to go to church. And I'm like, okay, well, then I have to go to church. It was never like a choice that I had, really, but people could tell that I didn't necessarily want to be there. And I wouldn't say punished for it, but there
No, you
was
were.
definitely like labels put on me because you could tell.
Yeah. No, I definitely think Sarah was punished in many regards because I think she wasn't always like compliant. And I hate saying it like it's a normal word in church. It was like she could see through it. She knew when stuff was wrong. I think she was secure in her faith and knew that this isn't what like God stood for, and so she was able to kind of see through that quicker than the rest of us were. But yeah, I'm like, ooh. So, do you have any advice for anybody who maybe is like, wow, like that sounds really similar to what I'm experiencing, but it feels like I have some sort of community, so this feels better than being alone. What would you say to them?
I honestly would just say, like, trust the feeling that you have that this is not what God stands for. This is not like who Jesus was. Like, if Jesus was on earth right now, do you think this is the place he would decide to be every Sunday? And if you have any doubt about that, it's probably not the place for you. And if you're scared of losing community, like, trust that God is going to bring the right people, because that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I basically was like, okay, I braced myself for it. I was like, I know I'm pretty much going to be isolated for however long it takes, but like, I just trust that God is going to bring people into my life that like are going to allow me to be myself and like allow me to shine in the ways that I want to. Or even that I don't want to, like, things in ways that I never thought I could. Like, and it might not necessarily be like people in like the Christian community. I think there are definitely people outside of what we call the church that are able to inspire you in ways that you never even thought they could. So just like keep your eyes open and just trust that God is going to do it in his time.
Amen. That's good.
And be patient.
Yes, that was really good. One thing I'll say is also, so like if you are that person, like, because I was, I'm sure we both were, you're going to come to a place in which pretending to be okay, pretending to fit in and stuff like that is just going to get exhausting and you're going to burn yourself out. There was times where I would go from leading worship to sobbing in the bathroom because I literally had no friends. And so to other people would like look like I had it all together and I was like fine, but I hated being there. And I didn't hate being there because, well, there's, and I loved God and that's why I felt like I still had to go because I felt like if I left, I was leaving God or I was, and I knew that he wasn't mad at me. I knew that being in a place that was genuinely so toxic for me to the point where I started hating myself when I was there or questioning my identity and stuff like that because we would be attacked. And I don't want to put this out there because I remember when I did the faith episode last season, I was like, I don't ever want to be the reason why somebody chooses not to try and have a relationship with God. But I do want to warn you and preface you by saying that there are people who, in many ways, think that they're doing what's best for you, but in reality, you have to go back to the source. You have to go back
Matthew
to,
23. Matthew 23, go read it. Matthew 23, read the
Yes.
whole chapter. Thank you. And just go ahead and read it and just tell me what you think after.
Yeah. I texted Sarah and
Because
I
I
just.
will say, honestly, that will be the verse of the episode is what I'll say. Or not verse of the episode, I guess just chapter of the episode. I don't know,
Yeah.
scripture of the episode. Scripture of the episode, go read Matthew 23.
Was reading the book of Matthew and I texted Sarah. I accidentally said, because I also like dabbled, not dabbled. I was reading Psalms in the same day. I texted Sarah, I was like, Matthew's T. And like Matthew 23. So that was
No,
good.
she said Psalm 23 is
Yes,
T.
because I also read Psalm 23 that day. And Psalm 23 was
No,
also T, but it was T in a different way.
it was good, but it was like it's like a pretty well-known one. Like it's very
Yeah, you know King David, how he is. All right, so enough about faith. I'm kidding. So I want to talk a little bit about high school. I know we talked about elementary school and stuff like that, but I do want to jump to high school and just kind of what that transition was like for you. Tell me a little bit, like, what type of student were you? Were you involved? Kind of, what was that like for you?
So I was pretty involved in high school. I feel like the first 2 years I wasn't as involved as I was like my junior senior year, but I pretty quickly found like my close group of like girlfriends who are still like my like ride or die girls. Literally was hanging out with them this weekend. Like we are still very much like the same friend group. Although some people are married, have babies, like whatever, like we're still the same way that we were in high school. But as far as like my place in the friend group, I was always the very studious one. They always said, you know, Sarah's like, they just basically like, I was like, I don't want to say the nerd of the group because I wasn't a nerd. I wasn't a nerd. I wasn't like always the smartest in my class. But out of all of us, I think I did usually take like the harder classes. So I was typically like the only black person, if not the only black girl in the class. So I was always, you know, very, very serious outside of school. I was getting ready to be a part of the Delta Sigma Theta D9 organization. I was in like a program in high school that basically like got us ready to be on that track. And like we basically did like, you know, like community service. We did a lot of like workshops. So like financial literacy workshops, like all of that stuff. I was very much involved in outside of school. I was in a bunch of different clubs. I was always in FCA. I danced in high school. I was in makeup club. I was in what other clubs? Food bank club. What else? Oh, hello. I was vice president of Black Student Union, and it was the first ever Black Student Union on Scripture and High School's campus. So we were like the inaugural year of BSUs. I honestly, I can't remember if I was vice president or co-president. I feel like Devin would know. I don't remember. It's been so long now, I literally can't remember, but I would literally every day of the week except for Wednesdays, I remember it. I had a club in high school to go to, and it was crazy. But I loved high school for the most part. Again, it was kind of the same kids I grew up with. As I got to middle school, obviously we got the kids from all the other elementary schools in the neighborhood. So I got to meet even more people and like still I'm friends with so many people from there. Yeah, I think honestly, just my drive to like do well in school came mostly from our parents. Obviously, growing up in an African household, things are very, very strict. You know, we are told when you come home to school, you go upstairs, you change, you come downstairs, you get your homework out, you finish your homework. And then when you're done with your homework, you can eat. And then if you're lucky, you get to watch TV. But we didn't have TV for a lot of our
Yeah.
youth. Like there was a good like 6 years we did not have
Just over
TV. And when
summer.
I say TV, this is like I'm talking like cable. And this is like before
Netflix.
Netflix was really like the thing. Like this is before Netflix, before what honestly, this is like when Wi-Fi just became like a staple in houses. And so we would literally just sit all day long during the summer, literally just sit there. Our parents would be like, read. And we're like, bro, like, I don't want to read. Like, I'm not trying to do all that. Like, I don't want to read. I just want to hang out with my friends. We weren't allowed to do that at all. Yeah. So I feel like I really started to feel like the isolation and like the like I really am like all alone in high school because again, it's like when people are starting to like get their license, they're all hanging out together all the time. So now when I was used to like, oh, we're really only seeing each other, like all of us are only seeing each other like during lunch at school. Now, all of the other girls are like hanging out on the weekends and like going to the beach together. And I was never allowed to do those things, even though like most of the time they would invite me. It was like I was always saying no. So then it did kind of get to a point where like, okay, well, Sarah always says no. So like we're might as well just not ask her if she can come, which like I understand why. But it was also like they didn't know that it wasn't me saying no. I feel like from their perspective, it was like me just not wanting to hang out with them. But I was like, I know. Like a lot of the times I didn't even ask because I knew the answer would be no if I could like hang out with people. So that was that. It definitely was hard for me to like feel close to people because I could see that their relationships were so much more advanced than where I was with other people. Even though to me, I felt close to them. But because of like, this is where our relationship was, and like, this is where theirs was with their other friends. But like, to me, this was like, does that make sense? Yeah, I think they just meant more to me than I meant to them, in a way, in that sense. So
Makes
that
sense.
was difficult. Yeah, once I got to my senior year, I was determined to get out of that house, and I did make it happen. I got into my top three choices. It was just a matter of like which one did I want to go to for real. I was happy with the one that I chose. And then it kind of all came crashing down after that.
What was your like major going in? Where were you going?
Yeah. So my top two or top three schools were Howard University, Spelman College, and Baylor. I know Baylor's a weird one, but it was because they had a really great nursing program, which was my major of choice at the time. So yeah, I got into Howard with nursing as my major. I got like over 22,000 in like grants and scholarships. So it basically cut my tuition like in half. I know that still sounds crazy, but it was a private school. And anytime someone would ask me about it, I would just say, I'm okay taking out the loans because I know like it's an investment into my future. And like as long as everything goes as planned, like I'm gonna be able to pay it off. And I didn't have a fear about that, even though other people did. But yeah, that was my plan. I was going to go to Howard, do my 2 years and then basically be officially enrolled in like their nursing school. And then I was going to probably stay in DC for like a year or two. And then I was going to be a travel nurse. And then once I saved enough to like buy a house from travel nursing, I would buy a house wherever I wanted to settle. And then work for a little while, get married, do all that stuff. And then once I was done having kids, my plan was I wanted to be a labor and delivery nurse. So keep that in mind as I'm speaking. Labor and delivery nurse. So once I had my own kids and all of that, I would be done working in the hospital, and then I was going to become a midwife, like ju fully just a midwife for like at home births, and then also get like a doula certification so I could be like a midwife and a doula, just support women at literally the most vulnerable point in their entire lives, like delivering a child, bringing a child into this world. So that was my plan, and it was going to go exactly as I, envisioned it. And then COVID hit, and it was not at all what I had planned for my senior year of high school.
Did you end up graduating from Howard University?
No, I did not end up graduating from Howard University. Once COVID hit, things just like there was just a big like a situation that occurred that kind of forced me to change my plan. And so I had to unenroll from Howard. It was like I think I basically don't unenroll. It was just basically like you just don't sign up for classes the following semester. So I finished out my classes. I also found this out like midway through the semester, like almost, I think it's like exactly 5 years this week as we're filming this. So I don't remember the date exactly, but I do remember it was like early mid-October. So it was middle of the semester. I got the news that I had to drop out of Howard, my dream school. And basically had to figure it out from there. That's all I was told, was just listen, you can't go there, is what I was told. More like in more words. But that was the bottom line. And there wasn't really a direction as far as like what to do next. It was just, I kind of just had to figure it out from there. So I knew you can basically enroll in a community college at any time. So in January, I enrolled in community college here. I was still set on like going back to Howard. That was still my plan, was just to finish my prerequisites at a community college and then transfer to Howard. But also during this time, I was like, just because of the situation that occurred, I was just going through a lot, like mentally. It started to affect like my physical health, although to other people, it didn't look that way. I was like really like sick physically. I wasn't really getting out of bed. Like I would literally just like stay in bed all day long. I would only get up to go to work and to work out. And then if I wasn't working out or I wasn't at work, like I was just in my room. And it was just a very like, I look back on it and I'm like, it was really sad for me back then, but I look back and I'm like, that was it. Like that is what had to happen in order for me to be where I am now. I basically kept taking my prerequisite classes for like another year, and then it got to the end of 2021. By then, I think I had lost like 60 pounds. And to everyone else, it looked like I was like doing amazing. Like when I would step out in public or we'd go to Redacted, it was like, oh my gosh, like you look so this or you look so that. But like I was truly like not doing well at all on the inside. And like again, I don't think anybody really noticed that because of just like my place in the trio, like of the three of us. I don't think a lot of people like took the time to like get to know me personally to be able to even really tell that I wasn't like in the best like place in life. So I feel like it was just at that time, I really just felt like it was me and God like just getting through it. Like that's how it really felt. And like you need community, you need people to talk to and all that. Like yes, God is enough, but at the same time you need people who see you every day and like are able to speak to your life specifically in the situations you're going through. And I just didn't feel like I had that at that time. And then I got to a point where I truly like hit like a rock bottom. Like I was like, I cannot keep living like I don't want to feel like this anymore. Like physically, mentally, spiritually, like I don't want to feel like this. And what is keeping me feeling like this is like allowing other people's opinions and like perceptions of me to weigh so heavy on like the way that I acted, the way that I like what I wore, like the way that I talked, like all of that. And I just like, what do I want? Like, what is the life that I want for myself? Like, I want to make a lot of money. I want to travel. I want to have kids. I want to get married one day. Like, and then I just was like, okay, what do all these things have in common? And honestly, it was just like the idea of stability. Like, I just want to be in like a stable, secure environment, whether that's like in your mind, like in your whatever. Like, I just wanted to be secure. So I was like, okay, kind of have to break down all of this and figure out how I can get there. So for me, it was letting go of like a loud voice in my life and kind of just allowing that voice to talk to the wall, talk to the hand. Like I really just had to let the voice yap it away and just be okay. Because at that time it was like whether I did what I wanted to do or if I wanted to do what other people wanted me to do, I was unhappy either way because I knew that I was letting people down if I wanted to do it my way. And I knew if I was doing it other people's way that I was letting myself down because it's not what I truly wanted to do. So I was like, okay, fuck nursing. I'm not doing this shit anymore. Like, I can't. I'm dying. Like, I hate organic chemistry. I can't do this. It literally, like, I was like, okay, I love kids. I love women and children, but like I don't know if I can live like this. And I was like, okay, what are my skills? What do I really love to do? And like, I love fashion. I love being creative. Have always had a business mind. Even the way that I thought about school was like, this is an investment. Like, I've always had that mindset of just like the mindset of a businesswoman. But this is honestly a big part of the story. So it was January 2022. I was just, bored at home, whatever. I was watching a YouTube channel that was owned by an athlete.
You can say his name.
Basically, no, because people are gonna think it's weird.
I
People
don't
think
think
it's
it's
weird when I
weird.
say it in person. Anyways, there
No.
was an athlete that I really, really look up to, and I was watching one of his vlogs. It was like a series, whatever. And he was sh basically going showing us like his whole routine, like how he approaches his life, and like the amount of dedication that he pours into, like, yes, his sport, but also like his well-being as a person, and how that all transpires into like his success. So it's like, oh my God, like this is what I'm missing. And he talks about a book specifically in this video, and I read the book, and I suggest everyone else go read the book. It's called The Inner Game of Tennis, and it's basically, it is like a book about tennis, but it the way that he framed it is, he basically reads this book like at least a chapter or like a few pages before every single game that he plays. And it's a game that basically just, or a game, a book that really just talks about what it takes to be the best at what you want to be and how much you're willing to put into whatever that thing is. And it really just changed my perspective on life. Like, it really just, I was like, you know, if this is really what I want, like, I have to be okay with people being mad at me. Like, that's just what it's gonna be. Because, like, I'm sick of, like, being feeling guilty. Like, I don't want to feel guilty either way. So I'm just going to, like, do it my way. And, like, whoever doesn't like it, like, I guess I'm just gonna have to let them go. And I'm gonna be welcoming to the people who are gonna, like, support me in, like, the way that I change. And the loud voice, you know, eventually came, not eventually came around, but I feel like when you start living life the way that you want to, there's a peace that comes over you, there's a joy that comes back into you, and people start to notice, and people will start to respect you because of that. They'll, you know what, they'll be like, you know what, like, I may not have been on board with this, but I see how different you are, and like, because of that, they're going to change their attitude. So it's not, don't live life for other people because they are probably miserable in their own life anyways.
True.
So it's like, live the life that you want, and obviously without hurting people, because I will call out, there are some people who live life how they want to and just are willy-nilly and don't care about other people in other ways. And I'm just like, you guys, like, actually, you guys understand what I'm trying to say. Just live life, and people are gonna be mad at you no matter what. So do it the way you want to do it. But yeah, that's what happened with that. I then changed my major to business marketing. I spent another like year and a half, because obviously business and nursing do not have really any of the same classes in common. And also because I was preparing to go back to Howard, the classes I was taking were very different than the classes that I would need to go to, like SDSU, which is where I'm at now. So it took me a year and a half to catch up, but I did it and I'm so proud. It took a lot of work. So now I'm at State and I'm in my second year at State, which means I graduate in about, well, like 8 months,
That's
7 months,
crazy.
something like that.
Something.
But yeah, I'll be graduating with a degree in business marketing with an emphasis in integrated marketing communications. I hope to work in sports one day. Don't ask me what that looks like because it changes on a weekly basis. But right now I'm saying corporate partnerships.
Yes.
So
Period. That's
that's where I'm
beautiful.
at right now.
I think that's great. So
Thank
obviously,
you.
I know there's probably a little bit of, well, was there fear in having to reimagine your future? Because I know you had that like kind of pretty set, right? You know, you wanted to be a travel nurse, you wanted to have kids and all that stuff. And obviously, that's not exactly what your reality is right now. But
Read me, why don't you? I'm just kidding.
I was like, do you have kids? Like, I was confused. Are you a
No,
nurse?
honestly, there was a lot of fear. It wasn't necessarily the fear of doing it. It was the fear of telling, like, my parents that I was no longer going to be a nurse because that is a big deal. Like, that was crazy. They didn't get an engineer. Yeah, so they weren't going to get a nurse. But, you know, there's still a chance for them to get a lawyer. And that's amazing. And they have a kid who's working in the NBA. So I don't want to hear complaints. Like, they live a good life. I don't want to hear it. And I'm going to make a lot of money. And yeah, we're going to live beautifully.
Yes, beautiful. I love that. I think we shared a lot of good moments that I think people will relate to. They'll probably want you to expand on more of the things if we get chance. So there'll definitely be a part two of this episode, or, like, later down the line, if you guys want Sarah to come back. She is the producer.
Or
Do you want to be a co-host?
just kidding. Actually, you guys, me and Lily manifested this podcast like literally years ago. Like fully manifested this podcast because obviously, I don't know if you've talked about it, but
What
our mom has owned like a hair salon since I was born. So before Lily was born. But when Lily was able to talk, and we
took
literally
a
would spend
while.
like almost every day at the nail salon, like our nail salon, at the hair salon after school until like our mom was done. And we would just have to entertain ourselves. So we would sit in front of the mirror and we called it the Sarah and Lily show. And we would just literally talk about like anything. I don't even remember one thing we talked about, but I'm sure it was just like current events. But we would literally just get two stools and sit right in front of the mirror and just look at ourselves and take a little comb or a brush or whatever was at that station. And we would talk into it. And yeah, it was really cute.
We should bring it back.
So if you guys want the Sarah and Lily show, like just let us know in the
We would have a
comments.
time. We would.
Yeah, I honestly don't think I would be a good addition to the podcast because once I get going, like it's hard for me to.
I
That's
think
the
we could.
thing. A lot of people think that I'm like shy or I'm like, no, like I'm not. I really just like to observe. I think being the fourth out of fifth, I learned to just be quiet, observe, and then when it's your turn, when you are ready to say something productive, then you can speak. So that's just kind of how I operate on a day-to-day. And when I'm with like my friends who like I'm, everything I say to them is like, gold. I can just say whatever and it's like fine. And when I'm in like different places, that's when I'm in a, somewhere I'm not used to, I can't just say whatever. I have to feel out my crowd first, So that's why I'm like that. But I honestly, I think I'm not sassy. I'm funny. Like I'm not, would you call, like if you someone
No.
said, give me three words to describe Sarah, is sassy one of them?
Not at all.
No, not at all. Like I'm not sassy at all. Sweet, maybe. Perfect. Adorable.
Angel.
I don't exactly. Angel, princess is literally my name. My name is Sarah, meaning princess. Literally, like that's all I am. Like I think out of all the siblings, I'm definitely the most like sweet, warm. Like you don't
True.
think so?
No, that's pretty accurate. I would say you and Laura are up there.
Yeah, honestly, Laura's probably honestly a little bit more sweet than I am. I just like, if I have an opinion, I'm gonna say it. Not in like a bad way, but I'm just like, no, I think overall, yeah, Laura's just a little bit more like gentle, but there was a time where he wasn't.
Yeah, he's our
There was a time,
oldest
yeah, he's our
brother.
oldest. And I think that's honestly just because he is the oldest brother. He has been more of like a, in that
No.
role. But I'm definitely like the I don't know. I just feel like I've always been like the angel.
He's very blunt, but in a loving way. Like I talked about, I
Yeah.
recorded an episode earlier today and I talked about how you told me that I just keep complaining. And I was like, oh, like it hurt, but I needed to hear that.
That's honestly my thing. I don't say something to people if I know they're genuinely going to be like crushed by it. But I say things to like my best friends or like to Lily that I know that they need to hear, and they're going to be mad at me for saying it in the moment, but they're going to be like, okay, yeah, she's right. Like
And
that's how I am with all of my friends.
I talked about it in the last episode, so you guys can listen and all that stuff, and maybe I'll have more sentiments when I come back. What I was going to say is one thing about Sarah is I remember I would like complain about the loud voice as well, or just like things in my life, and she'd just be like, you just have to stop caring. Like she was like, you want to live your life. Like Sarah would go on she gets really passionate when it's about this particular thing. She's like, you just have to go. Like do you want to look back on this and be like, oh, I wish I was like, and I mean
You're
that
talking about
genuinely.
Vegas, huh?
No, but that is
Oh,
also a good point as
that
well.
was a good example.
That was a good example. So we were trying to go to Vegas. It was a problem. I had graduated high school. We were both 18. We were going to Vegas to visit my brother, and that was a big problem. I'm going to visit my brother at his place of work, right? He was on a business trip and it was a huge problem. And I think that was the stepping stone. And Sarah was just like, you just need to go. Who cares? And
And this is the thing, during that time, everybody was saying, like, yeah, Lulu, you should go. But if the loud voice is saying you shouldn't go, then maybe you just shouldn't go. And I said, no. I was the one being like, don't tell her that. And they're like, Because that's the thing, like the other person, the other people who have to deal with the loud voice, they just deal with it by just complying. And I am just so done with living that life. So I was really, really adamant about getting you out of that cycle as well, because I didn't get out of it fully until I was like 20, 21. So I just wanted you to get out of it earlier so you could do things like you're doing now, like studying abroad.
Yeah, that is really good. I think that was a stepping, that was, I feel like that day and like just that situation and us trying to go, that was, I think, a very pivotal moment in it. I think Sarah was a very big part of that. She was like, no, you're not gonna take this disrespect. You're grown now. You can take care of yourself. Like, let's do this. So I would say that's one thing I do admire about Sarah. But one thing I will say, just because we're gonna close out the episode soon. Well, we are gonna do one, Am I the A-hole? And then we're gonna close out the episode, but I do wanna just kind of close out this chapter with Sarah. She'll definitely be back. But one thing I would say is she's a very sweet person. Like, down to her core, she's a very selfless person. She'll do things for you. I remember I wasn't allowed to have a job forever. And so Sarah would be the one buying all my stuff for me. And, Sarah's very selfless. Like, she will give like everything. Like, she will do whatever she has to make sure that everybody around her is successful while also taking care of herself. But in many aspects, I do think sometimes she puts other people before herself. But she's very, just a very kind person to her core. I think people who know her love her. And I'm sad that we weren't always friends. You guys can't see her, but she's sipping on her white wine right now. But yeah, so that was that. Sarah definitely helped me, and I'm very grateful for Sarah. And so I do say, I hope that you guys all have an older sister or sibling, because it's great sometimes. All right. I'm kidding.
Wait, what did you do first? Am I the asshole or this?
Let's do, am I the A-hole? To refer my brother to a workplace even though my parents are upset. I, 24 female, work in a high-paying job that I got through a friend's referral. I worked very, very hard to get here. I started applying like nuts after graduation and work here since graduation, which is around 3 years. I took this time to groom myself and become independent. I was the youngest of all my siblings. My dad has been out of a job for a couple of years, and it's been very mentally taxing on us since he was the sole breadwinner. I sometimes treat my siblings out to food, entertainment, despite being the youngest, and do that because I want to eat and I have to order it for them too, otherwise it will be like I'm unkind or selfish.
I know some people who didn't care about being selfish.
My oldest brother, 28 male, just finished his bachelor's after many years. He has no experience, doesn't apply anywhere, and spends most of his time playing video games.
28 with no experience.
He's also verbally abusive
Sorry.
to me and often disrespects our parents. Recently, my mom and dad asked me to refer my brother to my job since it's not required a lot of experience. It is mostly contact-based. She said that since someone referred me, I should do the same for him. She's clearly hurt that I hesitated, but I'm reluctant because, one, my brother's 28 and literally the most careless person in the world. He's made no efforts for himself. And two, he's verbally abusive when things don't go his way, and I don't want to share a professional space with him. I've literally tried helping him for 2 months apply for jobs. I even created an account and all sorts of places, but no luck. Still, I feel very awful because my parents are heartbroken and think I'm being selfish. I love him deeply and understand their worry, but I just can't bring myself to risk my reputation for someone who doesn't even try. Am I the a-hole for saying no? No.
Okay, I already have my answer, but I also just want to say I didn't realize that it said he just finished his bachelor's. That I apologize about that. I thought he got his bachelor's like, 22, 23, and then has not had any experience up until 28. But still, I think from, again, the business perspective, no, you shouldn't give him the referral, because if he has all these horrible qualities, it's going to reflect back on you. So, and you can't risk that at your job.
Yeah, I agree. He's also rude. Don't want that into that environment. It's gonna follow you around and it's gonna ruin your work experience. I think although he didn't get his bachelor's until 28, what was he doing from 18 to 20? So hopefully he was working, or not 28, 18 to like 20. I don't know what he was doing. He had no experience. I think you're not the a-hole, and I think your parents making you feel like that is sick. I do know it's out of them being very kind, but why do they continue to, break their legs for somebody who does not care? So I don't think you're the a-hole. I think he can go on LinkedIn and Handshake and find a place. I don't think it needs to be your business.
Handshake.
I also think mixing family with business, unless you have very set
Tough.
boundaries, is not going to work out. So yeah. All right, we're going to do one more. I wish there was one where people were the a-hole.
Sometimes
Well, there's one that I'm like,
they
maybe.
are, though.
Okay, well, I'm going to read more, actually. I'm sorry, this is fun. Okay.
The boyfriend one or
Yeah,
no?
am I the a-hole for being cold towards my boyfriend? My boyfriend and I have been together for 3 years now. In the beginning, things were fine. We had normal couple arguments, but we got over them quickly because they weren't bad. For the past year, though, the arguments have gotten worse. My boyfriend calls me several degrading names, calls me ugly, and talks about my features, body, etc., and attacks my insecurities. He told me while apologizing that he purposely mentions my insecurities during the argument to try and hurt me, and he
Oh.
recognizes it's hard and he will never do it again.
It recognizes it's wrong, not hard.
Oh, sorry. When he started doing this, I forgave him, but he doesn't stop and says he will. Whenever there's even a minor disagreement, he takes it to 100 and starts attacking my looks and calling me everything but a child of God.
Okay, we
That.
honestly don't even have to read the rest. You are not the asshole. I'm sorry. I don't know why you're even still with him
Yeah.
because this is insane.
I should break up with him
Please.
immediately. You said
Yeah,
earlier you're
no.
the a-hole for being cold. No, you need.
I literally, like, I don't want to say ghost people because I'm not a ghost type of person,
Just the
but
Holy Ghost.
exactly. I've never, like, because I've never had, like, a boyfriend, so I've never, like, had to break up with someone, but I've stopped talking to people because they, like, used a word I didn't like, or, like, they, and it wasn't even necessarily directed towards me. It's just, like, I have a very short tolerance for disrespect. Like, I just don't. I that is one thing that will get me so cool off someone. Like, I'm not talking to you at all. Like, I'm stay over there.
Yeah,
So
I
the
just.
fact that you're not that you're allowing him to call you ugly, but you're sitting there, and maybe you're fighting back, but then you fight back, and then you sit there still. And lay next to him at night. Please. This person just literally just called you like a fat pig and you want to stay there? Like, it's just crazy. No, I'm being too. No, Lily, you can't keep this in there. Now people are going to think I'm really mean. No. But you know what I mean? Like, this
Yeah,
is how I
no.
would talk to, this is how I would talk to like anyone, like my friends. You're
Yeah.
not going to sit there and let this 5'10 balding man call you ugly when you literally are like, a baddie. Like, I'm sorry. You're not gonna do it. You have to leave him. You're not an asshole at all. You honestly could have told me that you shot him after he said that, and I would still say you're not the asshole. Because he probably deserved it. And he did. But all I'm saying is, no, you're not the asshole, and I don't even need to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Like,
I
that
she
is insane.
This is
That's
fresh. She posted
crazy.
this yesterday.
No,
I should
girl.
respond to her and be like, if
Give
I'm...
me his address.
Yeah, we're gonna do one more just because this one I think you might think that she's the a-hole. I have my opinions, but I want to hear.
Okay.
Am I the a-hole for telling everyone to cancel The Bachelorette? Hello, I'll try to keep this short. Essentially, my bridal party was quite small, three people in total, just keeping it super chill for The Bachelorette. Airbnb in the city, fun bars. Maid of honor paid and booked for the Airbnb earlier this year. Member one ended up backing out. Her share was already paid and she did not ask for the refund. Number two ended up in a bit of a financial struggle and asked maid of honor to take payment plans every 2 weeks until her share was paid for. She's very much good for her word and maid of honor knows this. Maid of honor got upset and felt she wouldn't pay, thus asking me, the bride, to cover her share and let her do the payment plan with me. Maid of honor knows I've been struggling with everything and still needed financially wise, so was very taken back when this was somehow my responsibility. Am I the a-hole for wanting to just cancel it? I don't need to do anything. I don't want the drama.
Honestly, I don't think she's an asshole for that. Because, first of all, why are you asking me to cover someone else's? Like, as the bride, like, I don't know. I just think I'm gonna be the type of bridesmaid that, like, if there's an issue that comes up, don't take it to the bride. Figure it out on your own. Like, why are you taking this issue to, especially if she's saying she's good on her money? Like, why are you making it a thing now? Because also, it's already hard, I think, for friends to be honest with each other and be like, listen, like, I'm struggling financially. And for you to make it now like a big deal is kind of like rude, in my opinion. Like, honestly, if it were me, I literally would have just paid for it and been like, girl, don't even worry. Like, we want you there. But again, not everyone has the means to do that. So I get that. But no, I don't think she's an asshole, especially because it is a smaller bridal party. It doesn't really affect too many people. If it was like one that was like five plus, I would get it.
I don't think you're the a-hole for canceling it as long as your maid of honor gets all her money back.
Yeah, obviously.
But yeah, besides that, I think also if everybody wasn't in the financial situation to be able to do all this, I also think that's probably something that should have been discussed at the very
Discussed.
beginning. But obviously, like you said, it's hard for people to even be honest with their friends when it comes to their finances. So I don't think you'd a-hole for that. However, this is going to be a hot take. The whole payment plan thing. I actually do think that if somebody I don't know in a bridal party, like if the only way that we're connected is because of our friend that's the bride, I do think that in some ways it is the bride's job to kind of mediate that. So I would understand her asking the bride to
Yeah,
talk to the
if that's
bridesmaid,
the
but I don't.
case.
Yeah, but I don't think you're the a-hole for wanting to cancel it. I think as long as everybody gets their money back and you guys are able to be happy, it's good. But also, you got some. Why are all your friends canceling on you? You had a wedding party of three people and half of it is gone. That's kind of crazy. But I hope you have a beautiful wedding, and I'm wishing you success and happiness and love in your relationships. But no, I don't think you're the a-hole for wanting to cancel. I would just say be honest with them,
No.
let them know. Now you're not really in the party mood.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast. If you enjoyed having Sarah as a guest, let me know down below if you could, relate to any of her experiences when we post about this episode. We'll tag her as well, and you can always DM her. She also has the Instagram
Yes.
login, so you can just DM the Remix Reality Instagram account. Yes.
DM me
Yes, DM her. She has a
at
bunny.
Sarah Santolina, no H at the end of Sarah.
Yes. We both have unique spellings of our names. All right, Sarah, I know it's probably what, 5 p.m. there?
Yes, it is.
Wow, it's 2 a.m. here. So
No.
I have Pilates at 9. So I'm gonna go wash my face, do my night routine. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast, and I'll see you guys next week.